We've discussed storytelling before. Today, I take it a step further with Michael Heipel in our studio. He shares his insights on how to master event content and how to create value with it. Hi, Michael. Welcome to our studio.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Our topic for today, and it's a topic we discussed a lot of times before, is on storytelling, on content marketing. But why is that so important for event planners?
Well, it's a general trend in marketing, I would say. I mean, some people say that all marketing these days needs to be content-driven. Needs to be data-driven on the one-hand side, yeah, to really check how, to what extent do you reach your audiences. You can measure that in real time today. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't give you anything unless the content is not captivating, unless the content is not what the audience wants and what they like and what they can actually value. So that's why I think content marketing has become very, very important for event planners as well, for event marketeers as well. And the good thing is we have so many fascinating stories to tell. So we will never run out of good stories.
Okay, but you say good stories. How do you know what is good content and for your event and what isn't?
The beauty lies in the eye of the beholder, basically. So that's what counts. Yeah? Good content is content that is valued by your audiences. So how do you find out if it's valued? Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a lot of trial and error. Of course, I mean, we're planning. I run an agency since 3 years. And we do a lot of content production and then also promotion, not just the production, but basically we also take care of the promotion and the seeding. And sometimes you're surprised, you know, you find out what you didn't actually expect. So it's really, sometimes it's a trial and error. Of course, there are also procedures and stuff you can do in order to find out, okay, like testing, A/B testing. What is it that your audience values? What do they expect from you? Where's your niche? Because a lot of stuff has already been said, maybe not by everyone, but a lot is already out there on the internet. But you really have to find the proper way of how you package your stories and what angles do you have to give your stories so that the audience appreciate.
But that's also a bit of being prepared to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, failure is what happens all the time, of course. I mean, but you know, in the old days, put it like this, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you, for instance, did video production at an event, you maybe after the event you came up with an image film or something like that, an image movie. And you try to do it as good as possible, and that's the movie that you use to promote your event for the next year. Yeah?
Yeah.
But those days, I think they're over. I mean, it's a good idea to have a nice video from your event, but I think nowadays what you need is a lot faster, it's a lot more frequent. And as you probably use a lot of content, video content especially, I think, to promote your events, you will find out what works and what doesn't. You know, sometimes you have something in a week and you said, okay, this is really cool, but you think it's cool and your audience doesn't. And then the next week you have something where, you know, where the views and everything is skyrocketing.
But
so
then,
it's also a little bit of trial and error.
But then if you're talking about video content to promote your event, that can then be, for example, one of the speakers who give a short intro on his keynote, or what kind of content are you talking about then?
Well, it's a lot of formats basically that are possible. What we do, especially in the run-up to an event, is we do interviews like we do now. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Use Facebook Live, for instance.
Yeah.
I use the platform BeLive TV in order to, you know, do moderated interviews with one speaker, with probably more speakers. But we're also doing what I call content snacks. And content snacks are very, very short formats, video formats. They're probably 25, 30 seconds. And they give an idea of a session. Or maybe sometimes I do interviews with a speaker via telephone. You know? So I record it and I add some visuals. And mm-hmm. I just take the core messages of what was said in the interview, and I use it actually along with some visuals and make some, you know, exciting content out of that. And I mean, the secret is fast, be frequent, and allow yourself some failures from time to time, because, you know, yep. you just have to find out what's working and what doesn't.
Yeah. And how do you measure the effects?
Well, there's basically several levels how you can measure the success of that. And of course, reach is an important thing. So you have to know, okay, was it out there? Did I get the right audience? And if you're using platforms like Facebook or others, you know exactly who has actually seen it. You can, you know, nowadays it's not just enough to post something, but you also have to have a solid advertising strategy behind that. So whenever you post content, be prepared to also, you know, push it a little bit with advertising money. And when you do that, you can basically measure how many times did people click on the link to your website, how many times did they click on the registration page. You can also, using technologies like the Facebook Pixel, you can really track what did the people do after they watched your content, yeah? After they saw your image, after they saw your visual or your video, what did they do? Yeah? Did they do what you expected them to do, like sign up, or maybe sign up for a newsletter or sign up for something else? So you can basically track that. And I think it's important to, you know, think before you start a campaign, a visual storytelling campaign, what is it exactly that you want to achieve? Is it just reach? That's nice, but reach alone doesn't give you anything. It doesn't give you any return for your money. Or is it really that you want people to do an action, to, you know, register, to click on a link, to download and something or whatever? So that's part of the strategy.
Okay. Do you have any good examples of events who use this kind of strategy?
Yeah, at the moment we're running a campaign for instance, the German Marketing Day, Deutscher Marketing Tag, which is a 1,500 people conference, the leading conference for marketing in the German-speaking markets, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we do it exactly like this. You know, every week we post content, which is mostly some animated an interview or the contents of a specific session, you know, like an infographic. And we ask the speakers to do video selfies, which is a pretty nice thing as well. So because you can't drive everywhere and record that, it's not doable. It's too expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, taking a video team and going to all the places where the speakers are, especially when they're outside of Germany, it's not doable. It's too expensive. So we ask them to send us video selfies. We give them a number of questions and they record themselves answering those questions. Yeah. And out of that content, we produce, you know, a very interesting visual formats, you know. And every week, like, we publish one of those on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on the website. And then we can see what kind of reach do we have. And at a certain point, we do an overarching advertising campaign. The lead medium for that is Facebook, obviously, where we can track, okay, we want the people to do to take a certain action, which is to click on that register button.
Yeah.
So we can track that and we can see how many people clicked on that link and so what is successful. Something, like I said, sometimes it's surprising because, you know, you think you've maybe put a lot of work into a particular clip and you think this is really cool. You like it as the editor and as the video guy. But the audience probably prefers something else. So it's really a trial and error, of course.
Yeah. You mentioned doing it on a weekly basis. Is that a good interval for events?
It depends. Some of my clients do it on a bi-weekly basis. I think you could also, you really have to look into when do people register. And that's the time where you have to be present. Shortly before that, and then, you know, there's a certain time. There's a certain trend that people tend to register later and later, I have the feeling. You know, I used to run events for almost 20 years, and my feeling is that, you know, this is the time to decide if they want to come or not to an event. This is very short, you know, for a number of reasons. So in that, let me call it customer journey, there's several touch points you have with them, and you have to be present all the time. That's why I'm saying it's not enough just to have this one great image movie for your event and put it out there once, but you need a certain frequency to be present.
Michael, I want to thank you very much for your time and for sharing these tips with our audience.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're welcome. And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.